Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. We want to thank you for joining us today to hear a Sunday morning sermon. Now, we don't have time, obviously, for having an entire church service with the praise and the worship and the sermon and the testimonies, but we're going to bring you a sermon today, something from the Word of God that I pray will give spiritual substance to your spirit, that you will be able to receive it and you'll be able to utilize it in your life. You see, one of the signs of the last days in which we are prophetically identified with and living in without a doubt. I say that with absolute conviction of and by the authority of the Word of God, and just look around and see if it doesn't fit perfectly. Amen. Listen, just like a perfectly engineered and cut piece of a puzzle, it is now in place. We are living in what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. The end itself is not yet, but it is near. And we're going to see things occur that are going to have an effect upon everyone, men, women, children, boys, girls. It's going to have an effect. It is having an effect on us, and we need help and hope from the source of all help and hope, and that is the God of all hope. The Scriptures tell us the God of hope fill you with hope in believing, and that all the Scriptures that we read and that we have preserved by the Spirit of God, amen, all of the Scriptures, the things that were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Praise God. So we're going to be talking about something that's going to give us hope from the Word of God today. Amen. We're going to be talking about faith in Christ's blood. But before we begin this sermon, I want to pause just a moment and ask you a personal question. As a Christian, if you're truly saved today, have you ever doubted that you are truly forgiven? Have you ever doubted in the midst of a trial or a test that God really, truly loves you? Are you really, really completely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt to where you never doubt that? Or have you had struggles with doubt in that area? Have you doubted that your salvation itself from time to time? What if I'm not truly saved? What if it didn't really happen? Have you had struggles with depression, with fear, and with anxiety? Psalmist David did. You're not alone. Psalmist David said he delivered me from the horrible pit. He talked to himself when he was down and said, "Soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance." He certainly had to face and overcome fear, because he said, "What time I'm afraid, it'll come to me, and I do a battle with it. This is how I overcome it. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, O God." Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, did he ever want to escape the pressures, problems of life? He said in one psalm, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I'd just like to get away." If you've ever wondered why the addict keeps shooting up and the alcoholic keeps drinking up, people are looking for a way out of the pain, pressure, and the shame and the guilt, all of these circumstances that life can give us living in a faulty body in a fallen world. I see people all the time, and I see them in terrible straits, and I see the terrible consequences of sin continued and unrepented of, and I see the hurt that it brings. I don't just see the evil and the wickedness that they do. I see the terrible, terrible plight of the lost. And I say to myself as a Christian, except for the grace of God, there go I. I could have been one of those people easily succumbed to and overcome by the temptations and where it leads. The scripture said there's a way that seems right to a man when we make these decisions that have such consequences. There's a way that seems right at the moment, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. The devil will always show you the immediate satisfaction or fulfillment in a sin. He will never show you where it will lead you if you continue in it. Oh, but God knows where it's going to lead you, and God doesn't want you destroyed. God wants you saved. He wants you sealed by the Holy Spirit. He wants you safe from the wrath to come. So we're going to be talking to you as a Christian that have ever had struggles or are going through a struggle right now. And as a non-Christian, have you ever doubted that God could love you enough to truly forgive you if you repent? Could truly accept you and embrace you, and that your sins could be obliterated? They could be gone? Listen, the solution to the greatest need of mankind is found in the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, which is the full proof of just how much God loved this world and loved you and me, that He gave His only Son, that none of us should perish, but that all might have eternal life. If you've ever struggled with depression, I went through nervous exhaustion, bringing depression, because I thought as a minister I must be a hypocrite to stand up, preach on faith, and talk about God's love, and find myself doubting both of those, doubting God's love, and found my faith in Him shaken because I prayed and was prayed for, and there seemed to be no relief. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times, and nothing changed in the this emissary from Satan that was buffeting him, continued to buffet him. And finally God answered him as he waited upon the Lord and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." If the prayer isn't answered, the promise is that grace will be given. If more grace is needed, the scriptures say He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. God will sustain us through trials, not deliver us from every one. And we need to have faith in the love of God, because we have faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross in our behalf. If you've ever went through these times, you are not alone. Jeremiah went through these times. He preached a lifetime, and it did not change. People continued to rebel against God, bow to other gods, and ended up being defeated by their enemies, taken away captive into Babylon. And in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah saw this occurring. He saw no fruit of his ministry, no fruit of his lifetime of warning and pleading. And he said, "When I consider the wormwood and the gall, my soul is humbled within me," literally crushed within me. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He wept and wept. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus was not depressed, but His heart was broken. And friend of mine, we all know that our hearts can be broken and our lives can be touched with all kinds of things that can drive us as mere mortals, as human beings, into doubt and fear and depression and anxiety. But dear friend of mine, the blood of Jesus was shed at the cross of Calvary. And when we understand the love that brought Jesus to this planet, the love that held Him on that cross, and the precious blood that was spilled upon that cross. Listen, friend of mine, it would only take one drop of that blood to save you today. But He bled out. He literally bled out on that cross because He was beaten so bad before He was put on it. And then He was nailed to it. And for 6 hours He hung in agony while bleeding to death and while dying from shock and above all from heartache and heartbreak. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, He cried, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? If you feel God forsaken, He felt it on the cross. He wasn't. God just couldn't comfort Him when He took our sins upon Himself. He didn't die with the comfort and consolation of God's peace reigning in His mind and wrapping Him up in love. No, He died. He died as being forsaken of God. Why hast Thou forsaken me? But He paid our sin debt in full. And because of that, we can have faith in the love of God because we have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and where it was shed and why it was shed for us. Others have had battles with depression. The psalmist David wanted to get away from it all. The pressures of life had befell him. The circumstances of life around his life. He said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then I would fly away to the mountains and be at rest. I'd fly away to the wilderness and be at rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Storms of life come to everyone, and the sea rages and threatens us. But dear friend of mine, there's hope in God. And I pray that in this sermon today, as we continue it and bring it to a close, we will never fathom and plumb the depths nor the heights of the love of God. But we can begin to get a glimpse of it through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. One of the great hymn writers of the past struggled with all of these issues that we struggle with. His name is William. I call him William Cowper. It may be pronounced Cooper, but it's spelled Cowper. And I'm going to call him that because I'm going to read from his biography. He was a young lawyer with a brilliant mind, and he found the pressures of life overwhelming, and he had a complete mental breakdown. While confined in the asylum and suffering from prolonged periods of deep depression, what we would probably call clinical depression, he would spend much of his time in reading the Scriptures, remembering his spiritual upbringing as a child and his concern for his own soul's destiny. He struggled with the question of his salvation and peace with God. One day, while reading the book of Romans, he was confronted with the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's read what he read in this state, in this circumstance of life, Romans 3:23-25. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation," literally a satisfaction, "through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Listen, friend, it says, while admitting His need of a personal redemption, and the sufficiency is in the shed blood of Jesus, our great Savior, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, William Cowper realized and received Jesus as his Savior, and he developed a personal relationship with God and a sense of forgiveness of sin. His battle wasn't over. I wish it was. I wish he never doubted never had to go back to the cross and reaffirm his faith in the blood and therefore in the love of God. But listen to the rest of his testimony. He therefore was gloriously converted, saved, hallelujah, at the age of 33 years of old in 1764. He soon moved to Olney Parish, and went to an Anglican church pastored by, now this is not no, as Popeye would say, a coinkadink. This is not a coincidence. God planned for him to have a mentor and someone in his life, like I want to be here today, to shore him up in the faith and establish him in the faith. Amen. John Newton became his pastor, who was the author of the hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Listen, while living in the Olney Parish, William Cowper lived in a small house whose backyard joined the parsonage yard where Reverend Newton and his family resided. Here at Olney Parish, Newton and Cowper became very close friends and worked together in the writing of religious poetry for the services of the church. Reverend Newton became a spiritual father to Cowper and a real source of needed inspiration in helping him overcome, listen, his spells of religious doubts, mental depressions, and emotional morbidity. Friend of mine, we all need encouragement. There is not one of us that doesn't need encouragement that is so positive, so powerful that we can stand alone without having someone sow into us from time to time. That's why we need the Word of God. We need it consistently read and preached and proclaimed. Amen. The Bible said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. For the God of hope will fill you with hope in believing. Even after Cowper's conversion, he endured several periods of time when he seriously doubted the love of God for him. And he began to wonder, am I truly saved? Can I rest in the blessed assurance, the full assurance? I love that great hymn, don't you? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah, friend of mine. The blessed assurance we need come from the Word of God. And through the Word of God's declaration, we develop faith in the finished work of Jesus through His shed blood on the cross. Both Newton and Cowper were very talented poets and writers of religious verse, and with their combined efforts produced the famous Olney Hymns. It's a book of 349 hymns. It became one of the most important contributions to musical worship in evangelical Christianity. And among the 67 hymns written by William Cowper while living at Olney, under the patient care of Mrs. Irwin and spiritual inspiration of his pastor, John Newton, the hymn that testifies of his final peace. See, he did overcome. He did find that blessed assurance. And he testifies of it in this peace that he found in a song and a hymn of the faith that stands out as one of the anthems of the church and a monument to the sovereign grace of God. While sitting alone one day at his desk in his little house, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit without a doubt, and with words of the prophet Zechariah where he was reading, fresh in his mind, he began to pen these words. Now, before I read the words and name the song, the hymn, you'll recognize it. Let me read from Zechariah 13 and verse 1. In that day, looking forward, you see, to the new covenant and the Messiah that would come and the Savior that would come. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. He wrote, yes, you've got it. I'm sure if you're a Christian, there is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away, washed all my sins away. And there, though I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. Praise God, friend of mine. You see, there is victory, but that victory is based on faith in the finished work of Jesus, knowing that God accepted His blood as full payment for our sin debt. And therefore our conscience can be quieted that accuses us, and the devil can be silenced that accuses us day and night before God. And people who will never forgive us will be silenced. Oh, they will still hound us, and they may hate us because of our past. And maybe someday they will forgive us. They will if they become a Christian, if they want to go to heaven. But dear friend of mine, today we can be free from the guilt, the shame, and the pain of all of our past sins. We can't go back and relive our life, but we can have a brand new beginning. Frank Lehman wrote a song, and he wrote it and incorporated into it something that was scribbled on the wall 200 years before he wrote this song. It wasn't Cowper that scribbled it, but someone in an insane asylum, someone had found peace with God through trusting the love of God for him or her. Whoever wrote this scribbled it on the wall, and before they painted over it, scratched it on into the wall, before they painted over it, one of the painters that worked there took a pen and scribbled it on a piece of paper, and somehow it made its way down through the years. And people begin to publish it and read it. And Frank Lehman incorporated this song into a hymn that he wrote called The Love of God. And if someone can find it in those circumstances and come through and out of those circumstances, let's listen to what was written. Could we with ink the ocean fill, this one lyric within this song, other lyrics, but this one stands out, unique. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And the chorus, of course, oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that God has for us? The kind of love, praise God, amen, that declares that we are forgiven and we are reconciled unto God, that we are accepted in the Beloved, that our past is past, our guilt is gone, and our conscience can be clear. Because we're told that through the blood of Jesus, having our conscience sprinkled from evil, literally sprinkled from guilt, the guilt of all those past sins that haunt us and shame us and bring us pain. God wants to deliver us completely, amen, from the consequences of sin, the eternal consequences, and the consequences that we bear here and now when we truly repent, come to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Dear friend, today if you are a Christian and you are hounded by guilt and shame and you doubt that the blood of Jesus actually was enough to forgive every sin that you've ever committed, and that God not only forgives your sin, but He forgets that sin. Literally, the Scripture said in the New Covenant, of the fulfillment of the prophecy of that New Covenant, as it is written, saith God, I will cast their sins away from them, as far as the east is from the west. In other words, He will never associate, that's how He forgets your sin. He never associates you with that sin anymore. It's not like He can't see it, doesn't know that it ever occurred. He said, but I will never, ever hold it against you. And that's why the great apostle Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's Christ that died, yea, is rose again. It is God that justifies. It's God that declares you righteous. Amen. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. It's Christ that died, and yea, is rose from the dead. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Because our past is past. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let faith in the blood of Jesus. The Bible said that the enemy, Satan, Diablos, the maligner, the devil, he accuses us before God day and night in Revelation chapter 12. He's the accuser of the brethren that accuses us day and night. He's relentless. And they overcame him. How did they overcome Him? By being sinlessly perfect? No. Should we strive for that? Yes. But no one can fully achieve that. From time to time, we all need to repent and receive forgiveness from the Lord. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it, to cleanse us once again from iniquity and unrighteousness. Oh, dear friend of mine, there's one element that can overcome the accuser, and that is the blood of Jesus. They overcame Him through the blood of Jesus, and it had to be faith in the efficacy of His blood, faith in the fact that God has accepted the blood of Jesus as our substitute, our sacrifice lamb. Oh, thank God Jesus came to save us. Thank God He shed His blood on that cross so that we could be saved from the accuser, amen, of the brethren. And the Bible said they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's why we're told to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I love that song, don't you? When I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Christ supplied it on the cross. We apply it by faith when we repent of our sin and receive Jesus as our sovereign and our Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God for the blood applied. Our past is past, and our guilt, therefore, is gone, and our conscience, which is also an accuser, is clear. Having the conscience sprinkled from evil by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, when we have faith in the blood and we understand that God has accepted His blood in our behalf, that we could be totally forgiven, absolutely accepted and reconciled to God. Hallelujah. And we could be called. What kind of love is this? The Apostle Paul asked, what manner of love is this, that we might be called the sons of God? When you think about it, what kind of love is this, that we might be able to call God the creator of the universe, whom we blasphemed and sinned against and rebelled against, that we now, because we've been reconciled to Him, might be able to begin our prayer by acknowledging this intimate, personal, paternal relationship with Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Not the Force. This is not a Star Wars saga. This is the truth. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. The innocent suffering for the guilty. He that knew no sin becoming sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The just suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And He did it through shedding His blood. The suffering and the death, and the shedding in particular of His blood. God accepted it. It sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. I don't fully understand that, but I know it occurred. And I know I am saved. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Hallelujah. Dear friend, today if you're a Christian and you have come to know Jesus as your Savior, don't let the devil ever convince you when you're going through a trial or a test, and you feel, because your emotions are so out of touch with your spirit and with God's Spirit, therefore, don't ever let Him tell you that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't recognize you as His child. The Bible speaks of all these circumstances that may occur and says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal or inscription on its foundation, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Hallelujah. When you may not feel like a child of God, or you may feel abandoned by God, the foundation for your relationship with Him through the blood of Jesus stands sure. And if you don't turn loose of Him and you don't turn away from Him, He will never abandon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Come up out of that horrible pit of depression, that miry clay of doubt and fear that you feel trapped in. Jesus will pull you out. He's reaching down, way down, to right where you are, right here and right now in this holy moment. Reach up by the faith in the finished work of Jesus. Reach up and let the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the person He sent to bring it to us, pull you out. Set your feet upon a rock and give you a song of deliverance. You might write a song. You might write a hymn. You might write a praise, because God has delivered you and set you free. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Sovereign, today you can be saved. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Have faith in the One that shed His blood for you. Repent of your sin and be saved. In Jesus' name.